This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself.
Howdy do.
Now is your time.
Listen to me, this guy is dangerous.
Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Well, I hope you know what you're in for.
Chris versus the fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, I like the prize today. A pair of tickets to see the Padres take on the Los Angeles Dodgers.
BLA!
August 26th. We do have a line open right now. I know a lot of you out there go, well, I'd love to do Chris versus the fans, but I don't think I'll ever get through.
I have a college roommate that literally calls me every day. Yeah. He says, I'm going to get on there today. I'm going to get on, and he never calls.
Let's go. There's a line open, 833-288-0973. You can do it.
The rules.
The rules are as follows.
You have to make it through three questions. Each question is going to get more difficult as you go along. If you get the question right and Chris gets it right, you are, or if you get the question wrong and Chris gets it right, you're eliminated. If he gets it wrong, you have a chance to move on to the next question or win.
All right. There we go. Callers are in line. A couple more callers are due in line. 833-288-0973. The master ceremonies for Chris versus the fans is Tony Gwynn Jr.
All right, let's get right to it. First contestant is Joey in Lakeside. Welcome to Gwynn and Chris. Happy Monday. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, Chris, I just want to let you know that I love your little opening to every single radio pregame show. I love your little eloquence you've got going on. Don't let the haters
that?
Knock
See?
You, bro. Let's go.
Everybody's not a hater, Chris.
There's a tear that just came down my eye. That was beautiful.
Shut up. I'm enjoying the compliment, if you don't mind.
Sorry.
All right, let's get to the first question, Joey. Thank
you. By the way, Joey, you just won Chris versus the fans. It's over today. Get the guy the tickets.
Here we go. First question. What NL West team did Andy Green, Padres manager Andy Green, play for?
Diamondbacks.
Nice work, Joey. That is correct. He played for the Diamondbacks. Let's move to question number two. Who has the most hits in baseball as of today?
Like this season?
This season.
No, this season. Okay.
Oh.
Yeah, because that would have been an easy one if it wasn't this season.
Most hits.
I need an answer, Joey.
Bellinger? I don't know.
Cody Bellinger. That is incorrect.
That's a tough one.
Chris.
That's a tough one. Because I just looked up the batting averages today, but that doesn't help you.
No, it doesn't.
You need
actual
to know who actually has the hits. Yeah, I think McNeil is still winning in the National League. I'm going to go with the American League batting average leader and say the leader in hits is DJ LeMahieu.
DJ, former Rockies, LeMahieu. That is also incorrect, Chris.
Good.
Joey, you're going to move
Joey
on. The correct
alive.
Answer, Whit Merrifield.
What?
I've never heard of this guy in my life.
Wait, is it Whit Merrifield or what Merrifield?
Whit Merrifield.
Whit Merrifield.
As of right now,
of
he
the
has
Royals.
154 hits, and he leads by three over Rafael Devers.
Who? Or Devers.
Devers.
Gosh, I knew it was
Devers, Devers.
Get it right.
Leave it a scrape.
Get it right or Thomas will have a
who?
Coronary.
All right, Joey, question number three for the tickets to the Padres versus the Dodgers. Here we go. Who was the last pitcher before Marcus Stroman traded from the Blue Jays to the Mets?
Are you sure about this one, Scraby? Because I love when
this
you do
came
stuff
from,
like this.
This came from MLB.com.
I have no
answer.
Idea.
Pickles.
Pickles.
All right, Pickles is incorrect.
The last pitcher traded from the Blue Jays to the Mets. This is one of those ones that is just...
I knew you would love this one, Chris.
Deep left field.
I don't know.
Yeah, give me those tickets. Attaboy, Chris.
Give me those tickets.
It's definitely out of left field.
Well, Joey, man, you said so many nice things. I mean, I would, if I broke your heart at this point, it would break my heart to break your heart.
It'd be devastating.
Yeah. God, from the Blue Jays to the Mets. I'm just trying to come up with a guy who got traded from the Blue Jays to the Mets. I'm not, whether it was the last one or not, I'm just trying to think of somebody that went from that team to the Mets, and I will say, oh, wait a second.
No, no, I don't like that.
Feel good right there, Joey.
I don't like that.
Noah Syndergaard?
he knew it all along, didn't he?
He did. He did.
He did not.
There's no way that just popped in your head.
Yes, it did.
He was like, wait a minute.
It just popped in.
Whenever he does that, the answer that comes out of his mouth is 100% right.
This is the biggest disappointment in Chris versus the fans.
Ever?
Ever.
I know. Joey's going to hate my pregame show.
Joey, sorry, man. Thanks for competing.
And you should, Joey. And you should.
And you should.
Let's move on to Brian in San Diego. Welcome to Gwen and Chris. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday, fellas.
All right, good news for Brian because he gets a chance.
I'm honestly deflated now.
Let's get right to it.
I thought it was over.
I did, too.
I think everybody thought it was over. What
never over till it's over.
What active player leads the NFL in consecutive starts?
Active. Can't be Brady. Russell Wilson.
Russell Wilson,
he says.
That is incorrect. Chris, for the steal.
I'm not going to go think this one through too much. I think it is Brady. I know he sat out the one season about 9 years ago, but that was a while ago. So I'll say Brady.
Brady is also incorrect.
What in the heck just happened?
Brian, you move on to the next round.
Is Philip Rivers?
It's Philip Rivers.
Ah, I just thought of that. Just thought of Philip Rivers just now.
You remember when Eli got benched?
I thought for sure you heard the peanut gallery in the back behind us give the answer.
Oh,
so
true.
I thought for sure you knew where
it was going. The mics are picking it up over here.
All right, let's move to question number two, Brian.
Peanut gallery, be quiet.
What is the nickname for the group of fans that go crazy during tailgates before Buffalo Bills games?
Oh. I knew this one. I knew it.
We're gonna need an answer, Brian.
The Bills Mafia.
Oh, he got it! Nice work there,
he
Brian.
Got it?
Bills Mafia is the answer.
Pull that one out.
Good job.
All right, let's move to question number three. A chance at these tickets. Dodgers versus Padres.
Be easy on me.
How many times did Michael Irvin win a Super Bowl?
Michael Irvin, Super Bowl. Let's say... Oh, man. I'm just going to go with four.
You're going to say four?
Four.
That is incorrect.
Oh, no.
Brian.
We're at the end, too.
You have what?
Do you know...
I think it's three.
Three is correct. Brian, you got to the end. I am sorry. We're going to continue this game on the other side of the break.
This is devastating.
Chris versus the fan is in full effect. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen.
Poor Joey. He is going to hate me and Noah Syndergaard forever.
But you do have a fantastic pregame show, according to Joey.
Not anymore.
Not anymore.
Gwen and Chris, 97.3, the fan. We are smack dab in the middle of Chris versus the fan. Let's get right back out to the phone lines. Joey in San Marcos, welcome to Gwen and Chris. Oh, Joey hung up. All right. Pablo in Chula Vista, welcome to Gwen and Chris.
Two. Sorry.
Did he hang up?
Pablo hung up too. I'm just getting a text.
Okay. Let's try Andy in Rancho Penasquitas. Is he still on the line?
I'm still here.
Yes. All right, Andy. Let's get to this game. First question. Who is the oldest player in the NFL right now?
Adam Vinatieri.
Very nice. Adam Vinatieri is the oldest player in the NFL. Question number two.
Is Adam Vinatieri the only guy that can kick a field goal further than his age?
Probably. Here we go. What offensive tackle was selected number one overall by the Kansas City Chiefs in 2013? This is another out of left field question.
Oh, yeah. That doesn't sound good. I honestly have no idea.
You're in good shape.
I don't blame you because I have no idea either, and I have the answers in front of me.
What's the question again?
So what funny. Offensive tackle was selected number one overall by the Kansas City Chiefs in 2013?
What do you do? Just look through all the number one picks and go, I'm going to come up with a dumbest, most unheard of guy of all of them.
No, it's preseason football. The Chiefs we're talking about. I remember where I was when this pick
tell,
came down.
You could tell his ADD kicks in right around question number two. Question number one is always on point. Question number two, it just comes out of left field most of the time.
I think the guy's first name is Eric. But I have no clue what the rest of his name is, so I have to pass.
Oh,
man, that was close. You got half of it right there,
It Chris. Is Eric?
His first name is Eric. His last name is Fisher.
Yeah,
so guess what? You move on to the next round.
That's, all right. Still alive.
Beauty of the game.
All right, Andy, here we go. Question.
Wait, is Eric Fisher still playing, or is he?
That's a,
yeah, Thomas,
question.
I was just about to ask you, do you know?
What do you mean, do you know?
No.
You're the guy who asked the question.
Oh, yeah, let me
what are you asking Thomas for?
Because Thomas is our NFL guy.
All right, never mind. Here we go. Question number three.
He is still playing.
I would think you need to know more about your answers if you're going to throw these questions
I
out.
Knew that he was number one overall. He made a Pro Bowl last year. Hey, good for him.
That saved you right there?
Yeah.
Okay. Here we go. Question number three. The first male African-American tennis player to win the U.S. Open in the Wimbledon tournament was...
It's on the tip of my tongue. It's not coming out, though.
Okay, it's not coming out. I don't think that helps you.
It's not coming out.
Wow. I need the question one more time.
The first male.
Male. Okay, Arthur Ashe.
There it is. Arthur Ashe is the crazy.
Oh, my.
We've had three callers, and all three have gotten to the third question, and all three have failed at the third question. Here we go. We're back at the top of the board again. Arnie in Vista. Welcome to Gwen and Chris. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing today?
Hey, Arnie.
Not good. Everything's going well. Well, maybe
man,
not for straight,
man. We got to strangle Speedy, man. I don't know, man.
Whoa.
All right, here we go. Question number one.
Get in line.
What was the original name of the Tampa Bay Rays?
Tampa Bay Devil Rays.
That is correct. Nice work, Arnie. Let's move to question number two.
Don't go there.
Who leads baseball in RBIs as of today?
Hyunjin Ryu.
It's.
Let me repeat the question. Who leads baseball in RBIs as of today?
Oh, RBIs. RBIs. Oh, geez. Okay. Oh, God. Let's go with Bellinger. What the hell?
Bellinger is incorrect. Christopher, for the steal.
I knew this as of 3 days ago, but it was really close, and I don't know what happened this weekend. For all I know, that guy in the Astros passed everybody, that rookie. I believe it's I'm just going to go with the one that I remember, Escobar of the Diamondbacks.
I might be losing my mind, but the answer changed
it did.
Right before
it
my
did.
Eyes. That is incorrect. Now.
Oh, my God. Still alive.
You're still alive.
You're still alive, Artie.
I wrote that question last week, and I just updated it with the correct stats, which is Freddie Freeman, who is leading now by one.
I promise you, Chris, as I asked that question, it was Eduardo Escobar, and I look back, and I get ready to say it, and it says Freddie Freeman. So,
I mean, I don't know what the problem is. The answer is correct.
You move on, Arnie. Here we go. Question number three for the tickets, Dodgers versus Padres. Which defensive coordinator for the New York Giants in Super Bowl
38
went on to
37.
Become, 37, excuse me, went on to become the head coach of the St. Louis Rams?
Oh, good Lord.
We're going to need an answer.
Yeah, I know. All right.
Tony's kind of rough that way. Yeah. He always needs an answer, this guy.
Yeah.
I hear him.
Well, then, can we get an answer?
Can we get one?
Oh, jeez.
All right.
Oh, jeez.
I'm not coming. Sorry.
All right, stay here. Stay here.
One of these days, you got to come up with an answer that is aw sheets. Just so somebody gets it. All right, I can picture the guy, but I don't know his name. He was a terrible head coach for the St. Louis Rams. I know that. He couldn't coach his way out of a paper bag. I don't know.
Wow, finally.
Well, Arnie, you're finding yourself going to the Padres-Dodgers game here.
What's his initials? It doesn't count.
SS.
SS? SS.
Reyes.
Steve Spag.
Steve Spagnuolo.
Spagnuolo.
There it is. Yeah. There it is. Steve Spagnuolo.
Oh, mana.
Well, you win.
Either way, Arnie, you're going to a Padres-Dodgers game,
man.
Hang on the line. We'll get you those tickets, man. Congratulations.
Nice going. Nice going, Arnie. I'm glad glad Arnie won.
Is anybody else exhausted after that?
No, enjoying that, and I really take exception.
Don't
to
take
how
exception.
Happy you get when I miss the questions.
You know what I take exception to? The answer actually changing.
Would you rather me have the right answer or the wrong answer?
I'd rather you put questions on there that don't change by the day.
Okay, fair enough.
I got to be honest with you. By the RBI race, Escobar could be back ahead as of now. He might have hit one 2 minutes ago.
He might have.
Is there any games going on?
A
couple.
Yeah,
couple.
There's a couple games going on.
Oh, no, Arizona hasn't played yet. They're playing at
okay, good.
Quarter.
I'm safe.
So you're good.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
San Diego Padres, Crisello and Tony Gwynn Jr. going to talk a little baseball right now with a guy who knows as much about it as anybody I know, Scott Miller from Bleacher Report. Scott, let's get right into this, and let's start with the Rookie of the Year race in the National League. We all are looking at it from our point of view, which is the Fernando Tatis Jr. point of view, and we certainly can make a great argument for it, and we have a lot of stuff to back it up, and we get to watch him play every day, and every day he does more and more to make us believe that he should be the Rookie of the Year. My question to you is going around baseball and talking to everybody throughout baseball, is the thinking similar around baseball? Because there really are, and I know Alonso's the biggest candidate, but there are some other guys too. It's an unbelievable year for rookies in baseball, and the National League, there's just you could make a whole team of them.
Yeah, you got Brian Reynolds in Pittsburgh is like second in the league in batting. You got Mike Soroka in Atlanta, who's you know, doing great stuff in the rotation for a division-leading team. Alonso, of course, has gotten everybody's attention. I think he's got a running start on the Rookie of the Year award because of all the home runs he's hit, because he got the nice primetime exposure at the All-Star game, the Home Run Derby. He won that, even though a lot of people think Vladdy Guerrero Jr. did.
Right.
He stole the show. But, you know, Chris, for me, this might sound weird, but to me, the National League Rookie of the Year race is almost starting today. And the reason I say that is
somebody qualified today.
Exactly, Tony. Yes, with his at bats yesterday, after missing the 5 weeks with a hamstring injury in May and early June, with at bats yesterday, Fernando Tatis Jr. now has enough at bats to qualify. So what that means for people listening that maybe don't realize, you've got to have 3.1 plate appearances, an average of 3.1 for each game your team played. So wherever the Padres are now, what are they, 112 games or whatever, he's finally at 3.1 plate appearances. So what that also means for people listening is he now, Fernando Tatis Jr. now can appear in the leaderboard. So magically, if you looked online today or if you looked in your morning newspaper, if any – but he still does that.
I have one.
All right. Magically today, after last night's game,
Fernando Tatis Jr. slid into the batting top 10. He's now tied for fifth in the National League. So when that happens, and that's why I say to me the Rookie of the Year race kind of started today, because once you get into the leaders, now you're back on people's radar. And so when people, voters, fans, look at the leaders, oh, there's Fernando Tatis Jr. If you don't qualify, it would have been really hard for him to win the award.
It's like out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah, from that standpoint.
Well, Scotty, you wrote a terrific piece on Bleacher Report about Fernando Tatis Jr. He's keeping some pretty good company, right? I mean, him and Vladimir Guerrero Jr. are really tight. They consider each other brothers.
Yeah.
What is he seeing from his standpoint? Because Vlad Jr. came into the year with probably more hype than Fernando Tatis Jr. did, and he's starting to live up to that. What is he seeing from his buddy all the way in Toronto out here in San Diego?
Yeah, I mean, he's been impressed. He said, you know, he's loving what Fernando Tatis Jr. is doing. He says, you know, good people, good players, you know, good things happen to all of them. You know, I took Fernando Tatis Jr., he like a lot of people, he was glued to the home run derby. He watched his buddy. He was very happy, proud of Vladdy Jr. and what he did. The two of them, they live in the Dominican Republic in towns about 90 minutes apart, drive time. So they spend a little bit of time together in the winter. They text frequently. They're good buddies. You know, interestingly, we started hearing Vladdy Jr. got the head start on all the hype last year. Remember, everybody last year kept saying he should be up to the majors, and he never was. And then this spring, we all thought Fernando Tatis Jr. would start in the minor leagues for the same reason.
Right.
I kidded. The one thing that didn't make it into the story, kind of the outtakes section, this spring I talked to both of them as I was doing my travels, and I kidded each of them. I told Vladdy when I was in Dunedin, Florida, I said, you and your buddy Fernando should have a dinner bet on who's going to make the major leagues first. And Vladdy laughed, and he said, yeah, we didn't do that. I said, well, you should have. Then when I got to Peoria, I told Fernando that. I said, you guys should have a dinner bet. And Fernando, you know, he gave me a pretty good answer, but he said, you know, he laughed. He said, that's a good idea. He said, but it's not in our control. Right. We understand the business of baseball. But then it turned out it wasn't Fernando's control.
Right. It's funny because at a young age to recognize, I mean, clearly that's not his decision and it's out of his control, but that doesn't stop any other young guys from still trying to control that scenario. And it kind of speaks to why we see such a free individual out there. He's not constrained by anything. He goes out and plays the game. I find that to be one of the best attributes he has. He recognizes at such an early age that he's going to control whatever he can control and then kind of let the chips fall where they may be.
And just go out and play and have fun. And, yeah, I agree with you on that, Tony. I think, to me, that component of his personality plays an important role on why he's so good out there, because he's not worrying about other things. You know, I mean, I asked him about, in the story, I asked him about, you know, the tagging up from third base when the pop-ups are to second. You know, I asked him, I said, what do you see out there? And he said, you know, he basically said, I'm kind of trying to do the same thing I've always done going back to when I played as a kid. He said, and one of the things is I look around and I try to catch people sleeping or not paying attention. And we see that every day.
Well, he went from first to third on a wild pitch last week. And Andy Green said after the game he was mad at him because he didn't score. I mean, that's what Fernando Tatis Jr. has been bringing to the table.
Yeah.
Scott Miller's with us from Bleacher Report. I want to stay with the rookies for one more question, because I'm looking at what happened over the weekend. Aquino in Cincinnati had a three-home run game, and so did Alvarez of the Astros. And they just have now joined the group of rookies. I mean, it's just unbelievable. I don't think baseball's ever had this many good rookies. I could be wrong. I'd have to go through and research it all. But why is it that so many guys are coming up to the big leagues and are contributing so much right away?
And Aquino that you just mentioned, he just got plugged in at the trade deadline. He's the kid that's playing right field in Cincinnati since he traded Yasiel Puig to Cleveland. So they chip Puig away, and next thing you know, they plug in Aquino, and he's going crazy. You know, to answer, I think there are a couple different things, Chris, to answer your question. One, I think kids are getting a chance more than ever for a combination of business reasons. You know, they're cheaper.
Right.
Also, post-performance-enhancing drug, post-steroid era, with that out of the game, now players are aging as they always did. When you're 32.
Or they're aging like they're supposed to.
Like they're supposed to, right.
Like the rest of us do. Right?
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, you think back to the steroid era for a little bit. I mean, you know, Barry Bonds and Rafael Palmeiro and some of these guys, they're 38, 39 years old, and they're just doing unbelievable things. And now you're not seeing that. So I think the kids are getting
a really good point.
More
that is
of a chance.
One. Yeah, it's a great quote.
And the other reason, to me, is this is a generation of kids coming into the game that have grown up with travel ball.
Specialized at an early age.
Yes, yeah. Yes. And so they have been playing baseball way more than, say, the 22-year-olds that came up in 1975 or 1985 or even 1995.
Yeah, that's a really good point about with the performing enhancing.
Those are like three really good points. Right? Scott, you ought to think about going into sports writing. You're really good at this.
Scott, I want to talk a little bit around baseball. I mean, you and I talked shortly after the Mets traded for Marcus Stroman, and I remember asking you,
yep,
what in the world are, yep, they doing? And you had a good reasoning from what you had heard. They were setting up for the 2020 season. Did they think that this run that they have been on over the last 19 games was actually possible?
I don't know for sure, but I will say, if they say yes, they're lying.
That's what I thought.
You can't. There's no way you can say. But yeah, I think my answer when we talked about that, Tony, I think at the time was, Stroman is still under control. He's not a free agent until after next year. Syndergaard's got two more years. They were looking at maybe trading Syndergaard. So by acquiring Stroman, it was almost like buying an insurance policy.
If they
traded Syndergaard, then they already have a running start for next year. They'd have DeGrom and Stroman at the top of the lineup. And then, I mean, the rotation. And then if they didn't trade Syndergaard, which of course is what happened, then you've got DeGrom, Syndergaard, Stroman, and you're really talking now.
Yeah, that's not a team anybody wants to face if they can find a way to get in the playoffs with that starting rotation.
Or a one-game playoff,
right?
Because the Mets would have a really good pitcher no matter what happens.
Yeah, somebody asked me about that today. I was talking to somebody earlier about the possibility, like the Mets, you know, what do you think, you know, if they could get to the wild card. I mean, if they can get to the wild card, remember the Giants in 2014,
yes,
the third World Series title, they won it all. They entered via the wild card, and they had that kid named Madison Bumgarner facing the Pirates. And, yeah,
it was
DeGrom
mismatch.
Would be the same, or Syndergaard, or whoever they would start.
That's the thing, is they got options,
yeah,
if that's the case.
It was a mismatch. Scott Miller's with us from Bleacher Report, talking a little Major League Baseball here on 97.3 The Fan. All right, the Padres. Take us a little bit around. I know around baseball, everybody's excited about the young Padres and the future of this franchise. What have the Padres learned in the first 4 months of this season that you think they can apply to this organization going forward in terms of what they really do need to be a competitive team at the major league level? We know they're a great minor league system,
yeah,
but eventually that's got to translate to the big league level. How are they going to get that from one step to the other one?
Well, that's, yeah, and you're right. A lot of this year has been about watching and figuring things out. And you know, I think they've learned some things about their pitchers. You know, I mean, they said, a lot of us thought it'd be this spring, well, shoot, they ought to go sign Dallas Keuchel or add a veteran. And I know, you know, A.J. Preller and others told me, no, we want to see what we have on the pitcher. So, I mean, I think they're sorting through that. You know, we saw Logan Allen get tagged, packaged with
Franmil.
Thank you, to Cleveland. You know, that's an example of a small example of some of the things they've learned. You know, they looked at Logan Allen earlier in the year. They looked at him in the minors, and they decided, as far as our left-handed pitchers go, we've got a handful we like better than him.
Right.
So, okay, he's expendable. You know, and they learned probably that Hunter Renfro maybe is the keeper over Franmil. I mean, that's the obvious stuff I think they've learned. Obvious being that, well, duh, they traded Franmil and Logan Allen to Cleveland. So,
yeah,
you know, I think they've learned and that was part of this deal as well. I think they've learned they need, you know, too many right-handed hitting corner outfielders. They need to mix in some lefty hitters. I think that's why you saw that trade pulled to get Taylor Trammell. I think they're learning. I don't know if this is they'd admit it publicly or not, but I think they're learning that they still need to look around for catchers around the league. Obviously, Austin Hedges, everybody likes his defense, but, you know, it's been X number of years, and he's still not been able to find offensive consistency. I think there's some components to the team like that, that by playing 110 or 15 games so far this season,
yeah,
they're farther down the road, and they're able to identify some needs like that.
Well said.
Well, hopefully when we're talking to you next season at this time, we'll be talking about how it all worked. And the Padres are getting ready for a nice run down the stretch in August and September rather than being in a spoiler role.
One more question before we let you out of here. What is the likelihood that do you think that Steven Strasburg opts out of his contract?
Oh, that's a good question. I think as well as he's pitching right now, too, he likes it in D.C. I think that's why, because he was the rare Scott Boras guy that didn't go to free agency. He signed before he got there.
When I tell people he has a lot of characteristics that my dad had. It's eerily similar.
Is that right?
Yes, he's a creature of habit. He's a comfort junkie. He wants to be in his zone. And, you know, free agency doesn't really give you any of that stuff. You're starting anew.
And he's got kids now that are close to – are they – do you know, Tony, are they school age yet? They're really close.
Yeah. But I know they still have a home here in San Diego. That's the only reason
they
why
they didn't
that.
Sell that.
No, not that
they
I'm
haven't.
Aware.
Okay. I think he stays in D.C. for some of the reasons we've just talked. And I think in signing that deal, the kids are almost school age now. So I think he's looking at making a home in D.C.
That would make sense.
Scott, be wrong. Just once.
All right.
You're right all the time. You can be wrong one time. Hey, thanks, Scott.
Thanks,
as
guys.
Always, great talking baseball with Scott Miller on the SDCCU Fan Hotline. San Diego County Credit Union has low mortgage loan rates. Apply today. Equal housing opportunity. For details, call 877-SDCCU-4U or visit SDCCU.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's now time for the most unpredictable, most wacky, most opinionated segment of the show.
I wouldn't brag about it.
Gwen and Chris talk about the best of the rest.
Great balls of fire.
Ooh, with a twist.
Personally, I think we got hosed on that call.
The Big Five begins right now.
Don't panic, but there's absolutely nothing to worry about.
On 97.3 The Fan.
And the Big Five is brought to you by Del Mar Racetrack. Every Wednesday at Del Mar is free and easy. Get stretch run, admission-free program, and a free seat. Enjoy world-famous Brigantine tacos for just $3 plus $6 Coors Light pints.
I think it's the Padres taking batting practice right now, but I'm not sure.
Well, they have white on, so I think it is the Padres. Yeah. I think you're right.
But these two teams are really similar uniform-wise.
Anyway, all right, let's get into it.
That's just stuff that I think about late on a Sunday afternoon when we don't have a radio show.
Number five. I am not having a good day. I'm too sensitive for you to make fun of me right now. An American fencer took a knee while the Star Spangled Banner played during the medal ceremony for the team foiling event.
Okay.
Fencing at the Pan American Games in Lima, Peru. Race Imboden says he was willing to give up his, quote, moment at the top of the podium to call attention to issues that I believe need to be addressed. He tweeted, "My pride, however, has been cut short by the multiple shortcomings of the country I hold so dear to my heart. Racism, gun control, mistreatment of immigrants, and a president who spreads hate are all at the top of a long list." End quote. That's what he wrote on Twitter. And the internet was not impressed. So, Tony, do you see him doing this for attention or for awareness?
For awareness. Why would anybody want this attention? That kind of attention. I think he's clearly doing it for awareness. The internet hates everything. I'm done.
Okay. Chris?
Yeah, I'd like to go into real great detail on this.
Please do.
No, because
we've done it enough.
Yeah, we've done it enough.
But this is a fencer.
And number two.
Oh, does that matter?
It doesn't matter.
And when you're on the podium and you're the only one kneeling, like, can't you just, you're on a team event and you're going to kneel with your team?
How is that any different than anybody else? They're all on there by themselves with a lot more people, I might add.
Okay, so let's ask you the question. Are you upset at him for doing this then?
I think it's really stupid.
Why?
I don't see.
I mean, there are things that need addressing in this country.
I fully agree, but a fencer in the Pan American Games,
I don't care what
sport you play, is looking for attention.
I don't think that's the case
at
all. I think he's doing it from awareness.
Fanboy take right there.
I don't care for your take at all on this one, Scrape.
That's fine.
And I'm not just saying that because I normally disagree with you. I think he's honestly, I mean, because Tony's right. Who would want this kind of attention? I mean, you're just going to get nothing but negative publicity. Unless there are people that realize that you're just trying to point out the fact that there are some things that need some work. And I think that's all Colin Kaepernick ever started many, many years ago. Look, the fact that we're still talking about this kind of stuff at least is a half a step in the right direction. The full step in the right direction will actually be when we actually start doing better as a country. And we still have a long way to go, and we've talked about this ad nauseum on the show. So people don't tune in for our political thoughts and beliefs.
Nope.
And I don't really think we need to share them, but I agree with Tony. I think he did this for awareness.
Okay.
Number four.
Antonio Brown isn't the only NFL player that wants to play this season with his old helmet, because the GOAT Tom Brady also has an issue with his new helmet, but he's trying to adjust to life with it. He said he'll get used to it. It's whatever. He played four Super Bowls with the same helmet. Does that shock you guys for any reason?
No.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy. Me. That's pretty cool.
I would honestly, like, I never changed uniforms, gloves, gear, bats, hats, whatever it would be, would have to be totally wiped out before
right.
somebody could convince me to wear something new. It's still that way today. Like, my wife buys me a new outfit, it takes me forever to work it into the rotation.
That shirt's a new one in the rotation, I think.
I believe so.
Yeah, I believe so.
Now that you mention it.
Well, Antonio Brown also said last week that he would retire if they didn't allow him to use his old helmet. Well,
and it was the biggest story of 2019 at the time.
Did you see all the text messages or the
I'm
push notifications?
I'm just shaking my head at that one right there.
I know.
I fought hard for that story to be the lead on our show on Friday, and I failed because Antonio Brown was ruled today by an arbitrator that he cannot use his own helmet, and Antonio Brown said, okay, I'll play now.
Exactly. Who was the first person? Is it me? Is it my turn?
No, Chris.
Okay.
Chris, go ahead. Here's the question.
All right, what's the question?
Is AB the craziest player in the NFL right now?
I'm going to pass to Tony.
I'm so glad you passed this off to me. Because Scraby, not only was he trying to make this the first story, what was that, Friday?
Yeah, it was Friday.
Friday.
We got into an argument in the dugout.
But he was literally believing that he was going to retire and leave millions of dollars on the table over a helmet. I don't care. I don't care how crazy you think he is. He was never going to retire. He was just using whatever leverage he didn't have to try to keep the helmet that he wanted. It didn't work. He went to the arbiter. The fact of the matter is, his feet, we've all seen them,
yes,
are jacked up.
Yes.
He can't play if he wanted to. So, what better time is it to pick a fight with the NFL over helmets that you can't even wear right now because your feet are hurt? This is the time. I also said that he probably just doesn't want to be in training camp, as no veteran football player does. And
somewhere Leslie O'Neal, the old Charger, is smiling.
He's just giving a fist pump.
That
right
a boy,
now.
Antonio.
Listen, veterans don't want to do training camp. They don't need it in their minds, and they could do without it. As much time as they could possibly miss of practice of that doesn't matter in their minds, they want to miss it. And this was just a ploy to miss more practice upon his feet still being looking like he walked through
coals.
Coals.
Hot coals.
Hot coals.
Hot coals.
Yes.
I cannot wait for Hard Knocks this week because they're going to go through the helmet.
Can I
situation.
Say one more thing? The folks out there on Twitter and all kinds of social media, they bought into this. They are talking about how it's going to affect Hard Knocks, and the Hard Knocks can't be truthful about this and blah. It's like, this is a bunch of nonsense. The guy just doesn't want to practice. The guy is not retiring to leave millions of dollars on the floor.
I don't think Tom Brady's going to be able to complete a pass this year with a new helmet. It's going to really be a problem for him. But I want to answer your question.
Yes.
Which actually is Antonio Brown what?
The craziest player in the NFL right now.
I want to just say that Antonio Brown, based on his actions the last year and a half, does seem to spend a little time out where the buses don't run. That's all I want to say.
4:48 p.m. on August 12th.
Because Antonio has gone a little bit crazy on a couple of things, I will admit.
I don't believe that we've seen this diva-ish of a receiver in quite some time. Maybe the early 90s was when we were getting receivers that were this diva-ish.
All right. Let's move to the next.
Number three.
The United Soccer League made news when they signed the youngest male athlete in history to a contract. Orange County FC signed Francis Jacobs to the deal while he was 14 years, 4 months, and 29 days old, just passing Freddie Adu. Remember when he signed that?
Yes.
Back in 2008?
Freddie
it's been Adu that
was
long?
Supposed to be the next
yeah. star. David
mega
Beckham.
Mega star, yeah. I couldn't think of a really good soccer
Me
player.
Me neither.
There you go, David.
14 years, 5 months, and change is what Freddie Adu. So he's the youngest player to ever be signed to a professional soccer contract. Chris,
yes.
Do you have any issues with signing a 14-year-old to a professional contract?
Not really.
Really?
No, because it's soccer and nobody cares.
Oh, my God.
I mean, you could if you signed him to a Tiddlywinks contract, nobody would care about that either. This isn't even Major League Soccer. This is like AAA or AA
yeah.
or single A or
It's professional,
rookie
though.
League.
They're getting paid to play sports.
Yeah, they're giving him some money. Good for him. I guarantee you there's 14-year-old kids making money doing that E-League thing.
Oh, yeah.
100%.
Right? So this is not a big deal anymore. But honestly, if we're talking about a major sport that somebody cared about, it might be worth dealing with.
A lot of people care about soccer. That's Chris Ello on the internet.
You know what? I like soccer, but give me Major League Soccer at least.
He's only telling the truth.
I'm All just right. saying, give me at least Major League Soccer.
Tony?
I mean, I'm not ready to follow. Like, are you really ready to follow single A hockey?
No.
Okay.
He said no.
No.
I'm actually not. What is this? The USL, right?
Yes, yes,
USL.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Didn't even know it existed until
right.
you just pointed this out. So, no. And even if it was MLS, I would never hate on anybody. I mean, 14 years old, I get it. But if that's his dream, he wants to be a professional soccer player, live it out, my man. And if you can do it at the age of 14, kudos to you. This is professional. I mean, but the question was, do I think there's anything wrong with it? No, I don't.
Okay. Let's move on.
Number two.
The NCAA has amended its certification process for agents representing basketball players who are deciding whether to stay in school or explore the NBA draft, and they will no longer require them to have a bachelor's degree. Instead, agents who don't have one will have to be in good standing with the NBA Players Association. The NCAA said, quote, "We're committed to providing student-athletes who are deciding whether to stay in school or explore the NBA draft options with access to a wide array of resources to make their decision." Last week, though, they made news because they said that all agents had to have a bachelor's degree, and LeBron's agent, Rich Paul, was not too happy about it. He said that was limiting a lot of people. So the new requirements were heavily criticized, and now they call this the quote-unquote Rich Paul rule for allowing these people to represent players without a bachelor's degree. So, Tony, is this a big step, little step, or no step at all towards making things fair for college athletes?
First of all, this is what happens when you pretend like you have the hammer and you actually don't have the hammer.
Nah.
Right?
You do something and then you immediately take it back.
Right, exactly. There was no way for them to really enforce this without looking like jerks in this whole
yeah.
situation. And once the criticism came hard and fast, they backpedaled. This came out on Friday, right?
Yeah.
So it took the weekend, and on Monday morning, it was ready to be changed.
Rich Paul just immediately came
the
out.
The rule didn't even have a chance to even go into effect. That's how little of a hammer they have
That's
when
true.
It comes to this. So,
That's true.
Listen, I don't believe that this was solely about Rich Paul, as I explained when this came up. AAU has blown up. mm-hmm. and it's high school players, and because it's really nobody governing it, it's free for all. Yeah. And I think this was just as much of a ploy to kind of spearhead that, but at the same time, maybe not though, because this is all related to after they if they decide to leave as an underclassman in college. So yeah. Chris and I talked about this with the first day it came out. I didn't understand how they were going to enforce it. I still don't understand how they're going to enforce it. And I don't think this is any step closer to changing anything in college basketball. What do you think? It's going to make people continue to go the route that they have.
Chris?
You don't need a degree to play in the NBA.
No.
So you don't need a degree, I don't think, to represent a guy playing in the NBA. I hate to make a sweeping statement, but I think in general – college degrees are getting less and less important to have in this world. Whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, it's probably a bad thing. But, I mean, how many guys are running multi-million, billion-dollar companies in Silicon Valley that never went to college? I mean, unfortunately, nowadays, a college degree doesn't get you a whole lot other than a piece of paper.
What's it called? Insta-famous? That's what the kids want.
Oh, yeah.
You want to be Instagram-famous, Facebook-famous? You can do that now and get paid.
Yeah, yes. So I didn't see this area being the one area on the planet where they were going to force you to have a degree in order to do the job. I just didn't see that working.
All right, let's get to the last real quick.
Number one.
We've been talking about it the last few weeks. The Cowboys have some big-time contract issues coming up with Dak Prescott, Amari Cooper, and Ezekiel Elliott trying to get paid. And reports out of Dallas are that Dak Prescott has turned down an average annual salary of $30 million a year. Experts are saying that the Eagles' extension of Carson Wentz at 4 years and $128 million is to blame. Dak doesn't want to take less than Carson Wentz is what it boils down to. Chris, is it a mistake for Dak to turn down $30 million a year?
$30 million a year. Boy, on the surface, it sure sounds like it's a mistake.
I know, right?
I'm going to say no because quarterbacks are making a whole lot more than that, and he's betting on himself, and I like guys that do that.
Tony?
First of all, shame on the Cowboys for releasing this whole thing. There's no
Wait.
There's no.
You don't know that.
There's no way Dak Prescott released to the media, hey, man, I turned down $30 million. Like, it doesn't make any sense on any level. So, this is negotiation ploys, tactics by the Dallas Cowboys. The reality is, I bet you he's not even asking for 40, which is reported. He's probably asking somewhere above 30.
I think it's 32 to 35.
30, right. And so they put out there he's asking for 40, so he looks like a bad guy, and he looks greedy all at the same time.
Oh, wow.
But I think ultimately what is going to happen is he'll get his money because they can't play without him. And fortunately for them, he's not taking the Ezekiel Elliott route where he's just holding out. He's showing up to work, trying to, you know, play the whole, I'm a good, you know, good worker. I want to be here for you guys. Now do what's right. And hopefully the Cowboys do. But they got some logs in the fire with Ezekiel, the wide receiver.
Amari Cooper
also needing to be paid.
Well,
and Dak Prescott.
I want every single Dallas Cowboy player to make over $30 million just so Jerry Jones can't have it.
Well, with the backup quarterbacks of Mike White and Cooper Rush.
Oh, yeah. Those guys sound like Super Bowl winners.
$40 million.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's our big five for the day. We got to get to a break real quick. Start at the 5 o'clock hour where we give you what we didn't give you earlier, which is what happened over the weekend. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ellick, Gwynn and Chris, 97.3, The Fan.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, we'll get back to the baseball here shortly. We're going to have our countdown coming up in about 10 minutes, but... NFL football. How'd you do this weekend, Scraby? Did you bet all the preseason games?
Sure did.
No, you didn't.
Made some money on the Niners.
I pray you did not bet on any of the preseason games.
No, I don't bet on anything anyway.
Did the Niners beat the Cowboys?
What in the world was that? I think that was an off-air signal.
Okay, most of the signals and sounds I've heard dozens of times.
That one you haven't.
That one's a brand new one.
Thomas, are we still
on
the
air? Everybody else hear that, Thomas, or
that
just
us? That was KSON saying they were off air.
Oh.
Well, dude.
Well, we welcome all the listeners from KSON that are off air that just jammed over to our station.
I've never heard it go over the air, which is crazy.
That was really weird.
Do you have the computer up?
That was weird. Speaking of weird, here's Odd Thomas with his NFC North preview. Do we have an open
dun,
for this?
Dun, 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 dun.
Why don't we just play a little football music? Is it that tough?
I mean, I'm not on the board.
Well, you're...
Oh, there it is, there it is, there it is.
You're the host, you're the producer of the program.
There it is, there it is.
There we go.
Yeah,
NFC North.
The computer was up.
All right. That's why. That's why we heard that strange sound. I wish only the best for all the folks at KSON. By the way, quick note on the NFC North. Before you get to this, Thomas, I don't know if you've included this in your NFC North notes, but a old friend of mine, Josh Johnson, quarterback, USD football.
Yes, sir.
First just overall signed with pick the, in the fleet, or the AAF.
Right, he was the first overall pick for the fleet. He never played for the fleet.
So weird.
But he's now signed with his 13th NFL team, and it's the Detroit Lions in the NFC North.
If that isn't up for the love of the game, I don't know what is.
Josh Johnson, I would love to – well, he got a couple opportunities last year with Washington. But, man, is he a great athlete at USD? He's still a great athlete. Otherwise, he wouldn't still be around.
He won his first career game with the Redskins last year, right?
I don't know all the particulars.
I think he won his first career start.
Start, okay, all right.
Well, his first starting win, because he had some starts earlier in his career with Tampa Bay, which is where he began his career. But one of these days, Scravey will name off all 13 teams that Josh Johnson has played for.
Oh, man,
that's
got to
be a record, no?
It's got to be.
No,
well, there's only 30 teams. How many can you play for? 13's got to be the record.
Thomas, you get going. I'll look that up.
All right, Thomas. Odd Thomas, what do we got for the NFC North heading into this season? A division dominated by the monsters of the Midway last year. The Chicago Bears were the defending are the defending division champs.
Yes, the NFC North, also known as the Black and Blue Division. And it
the
should
Black
live,
and Blue Division. Do you know why?
Because a hard-nosed defense and running the ball.
Because they used to just murder each other. You had the Bears, you had the Packers, you had the Purple People Eaters and the Vikings. Even the Lions were mean back then. Yeah. The Black and Blue Division. Great nickname, isn't it?
That is a great nickname.
Yeah, it's a great nickname. It's not really called that anymore, although I think they should kind of try to bring it back.
They have a bunch of spread offenses.
Plays black and blue football anymore.
And speaking of spread open offenses, the Lions ranked 24th last year. So one thing Bob Quinn did to really spark the Lions offense is they brought in slot receiver Danny Amendola, CJ Anderson, drafting first round tight end TJ Hawkinson to help give franchise and overrated quarterback Matthew Stafford some new targets. Who should
turn around his recent downward slump. He can have his opinion and he's right. Slump.
He hates Matt Stafford.
Well, you don't have. All right. First of all, you got to be careful hating Matt Stafford because he went to Georgia and our boss is a Georgia fanatic.
Good point.
But secondly, Matthew Stafford is overrated. He's overpaid and overrated. That doesn't always mean you're a bad player. It just means that you're not nearly as good as everybody thinks you are. And I think that's fair for Matthew Stafford because he constantly is compared and talked about like he's one of the top quarterbacks in the entire league.
I think with
and he's not.
You know, as John Gruden said when he was on the broadcast of Monday Night Football, he can throw it into every single angle, every arm slot angle.
I don't care what he can do. He can throw it to the other team from every conceivable arm angle too.
I'm a big Matt Stafford guy. I really can't wait for him to finally break out.
What is this about his 12th season?
It's got to be up in his at least
my
ninth.
Goodness. So he's made a lot of money to lose a lot of games, I'll tell you that.
So they lost defensive end Ezekiel Ansah, Glover Quinn, quarterback Nevin Lawson. Added, though, defensive end Trey Flowers from the Patriots, Justin Coleman from the Seattle Seahawks, and tight end Jesse James from the Steelers to help with the offense.
And the defense should be – nobody should be able to move – 1 yard against the Lions defensive line this year, right, Odd Thomas?
Yeah, they brought in Mike Daniels from the Packers, who was really good in the run stopping. They just traded for Snacks Harrison from the Giants last season to go in with that offense or the defensive line, and drafted A'shaun Robinson a couple years ago out of Alabama to really solidify the defensive line. So you kind of see where Matt Patricia's kind of going as far as trying to run the ball on offense and play defense on.
Do you think Matt Patricia's still coaching the Lions just because he's part of the Belichick tree and they think, well, he'll figure it out eventually?
Ooh. I'm thinking that he's out if he does not have a good year because they do not like him.
Because you can't. I mean, you can only have a couple of years in the NFL. You got to start producing.
And he's very bad with the media. I don't know. I can't say he's bad with the fans, but he's bad with the media.
Well, Scraby, sit up straight if you're going to talk to me.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He did tell someone that in the media one time.
I remember that.
So Matt Patricia needs to get it together.
All right, moving on to the Vikings. Vikings went out and broke the bank and got their guy, Kirk Cousins, last year, giving him, at the time, fully guaranteed three-year, $84 million.
What a waste of money!
He did throw for 4,200 yards, though, second most yardage in his career, but the team couldn't convert on offense.
I was going to say, how many games did he win? Eight? I think he won eight. I think they were 8-7-1, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct.
That was not well-spent money, by the way.
And they fired their offensive coordinator only a few games into the season, and John DeFilippo, who is now the new offensive coordinator in Jacksonville with Nick Foles again.
That's scapegoating at its finest right there.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong also. Dalvin Cook got injured like the first game of the season, and he was a focal point of that team.
Their offensive line took a real big hit too early in the season as well.
Yeah. I think the Vikings will back a little bit this year. Cousins has got to have a little more help, though.
Re-signed Anthony Barr, brought back Josh Klein, brought back Dan Bailey, who was the kicker they needed because their kicker made him tie the game versus the Packers, if you remember.
Oh my God, they lost like three games because of their kicker last year.
Correct.
Yeah.
And then lost Latavius Murray to the Saints. Okay, we'll move on to the...
Do they still have Matt Zendejo on defense? I like that guy.
Because he's
hard. He hits hard.
He's the guy who wore the hat last year. Make football fun again.
Number 34. He just crushes people. I'm glad I don't have to play against him.
For the first time since 1990 to 1991, the Green Bay Packers suffered back-to-back losing seasons for the first time since 2005 and 2006. So they got a brand new GM, fired Mike McCarthy after 13 seasons, brought in a new talented head coach, Matt LaFleur, who... I guess
maybe you should just say a new coach.
Yeah,
we don't know
say,
that
what?
He's talented yet.
Well, he's got a lot of promise because he's coming from the Sean McVay coaching tree, which everyone just seems to be raving about nowadays.
Yeah, but Matt Patricia was coming from the Bill Belichick coaching tree. That's got to be better than the Sean McVay coaching tree, and it didn't do him any good.
Sean McVay's like 32 years old.
Yeah.
Hey, man, he's got a tree going so far.
I know what Thomas is coming from on this. I'm just trying to debunk that theory that just because you coached for Sean McVay doesn't make you a genius yet.
Yeah.
But it's going to be interesting to see how LaFleur can match wits with Aaron Rodgers, who's been known to be stubborn to work with, you know, if that's to say the least. Calling his own plays in the huddle.
Good line, Odd Thomas. Stubborn to work with. No doubt about that.
You're really being politically correct in this NFC
North
preview.
He's correct.
You can say it. Aaron Rodgers is a difficult guy to play with.
He's a jerk.
Yeah,
he's a Caribbean jerk.
So they've lost some pretty big players that people have been known to know in Green Bay. Speaking of Clay Matthews, Randall Cobb, Mike Daniels, all former Pro Bowlers. Brought in, spent some money in the offseason, which the Packers don't normally do, bringing in outside linebackers Za'Darius Smith, Preston Smith, and Adrian Amos, a safety from Chicago, to help replace Ha Ha Clinton Dix, who they traded halfway through the season to the Washington Redskins. So for the Packers to succeed this next season, we're going to need to see if Matt LaFleur can get along with Aaron Rodgers, essentially.
I think the talented Matt LaFleur might be headed for a talented last place finish.
Wow.
They were 6-9-1 last year. It's not like I'm going out on a limb here.
No, you're right. I mean, Rodgers played on one leg almost all season.
Yeah, but he's got to have some help. I know he doesn't think he needs help, but he's got to have some help.
Yes, he does.
All right, moving on to the Bears. First-year head coach Matt Nagy proved he was the real deal last year, leading the Bears to a 12-6 record, the best record posted by the Bears since they went to the Super Bowl in 2006. They lost their defensive coordinator Vic Fangio to the Denver Broncos, but brought in Colts former head coach, Chuck Pagano, to be the new defensive coordinator for them. They lost Adrian Amos, who I just mentioned, but they brought in HaHa Clinton-Dix, who spent time with the Packers and Redskins last year. Even with the guru mind head coach and Matt Nagy and the signs, fans and me will be wanting to watch and see if Mitchell Trubisky can take that next step in his development. They brought in weapons now for him. David Montgomery should be a real somebody to look at as a fantasy sleeper this year as a rookie, but Tariq Cohen, wide receiver Allen Robinson, and Anthony Miller were crucial for Trubisky last year, who set career highs in touchdowns and yardage of 3,200 and 24 touchdowns.
Trubisky was good last year, but I think the big thing for the Bears, and you mentioned Montgomery, but they're going to have to replace Jordan Howard. And that guy was a big-time ball carrier for them. Goes to Philadelphia now. We'll see if Tariq Cohen gets the ball more. He should. I would put that ball in his hands more often.
Yeah.
Guy's lightning
That's
in a bottle.
That's what you kept saying all last year.
Yes, well, he was on my team last year, so I kept saying that last year. I don't know about this year, but I'd be surprised if the Bears can repeat 12-4.
Yeah, especially with the amount of turnovers and touchdowns they've scored defensively and special teams, it's really hard to replicate those. And you're losing a good player like Jordan Howard on offense. Yeah, David Montgomery can step in and probably, you know, handle some of that stuff. But as a rookie, it's very hard to step in and make an immediate impact, especially as a running back.
Plus, the Bears Bears paid way too much attention to one missed field goal at the end of the season.
I think that's going to be their undoing. Great point.
I mean, really, they had a tryout with every kicker on earth this offseason.
And put them in almost the exact same replication of last year. Even John Barron went through
it. Get over it, Matt Nagy.
Get over it. The guy missed a 43-yard field goal, and it was tipped. He didn't even miss it. It was tipped.
It double doinked a couple times,
though. But it was tipped. So the guy didn't even miss the kick.
I understand why they got rid of him at the end of the year,
but to make such a big deal.
And he went on Good Morning America. That's why.
That was just ridiculous. Too much of that, Bears. It's going to cost you.
So I think it's going to come down to the Vikings and the Bears, though. They should be the two teams to compete for the division.
All right. I'll go along with that. That it?
Yeah.
I love the NFC. The black and blue division.
Black and blue.
Hey, we have a bonus Biggest Fan Las Vegas trip coming up in August. Go to 973thefansd.com. Go to our contest page. Sign up to win a trip to Caesar's Palace. You can see Keith Urban perform in September. Sign up to win on our contest page at 973thefansd.com. It could not be easier. You go to our webpage, you sign up, and you sit back, relax, and wait for you to win.
Yay!
Good luck. All right, Tony will rejoin us for a countdown. Good job, Odd Thomas, on the NFC North. How many more divisions do we have left, Scraby?
Three.
Three to go. That's... All right. Odd Thomas getting
us... No, two.
Two?
Two.
You already did the NFC West. Yeah, two. Two.
South
well,
and
I want to do
East.
The NFC. I want to do the NFC West again so I can make fun of the 49ers again.
Hey, they look pretty good in their preseason game.
Oh, my goodness. So did the Dolphins.
No one said that.
Were you looking for a super? What do you mean no one said that? They won the game, didn't they?
Well, but nothing counts until week one.
But for the 49ers, evidently it did count.
I'm just looking for improvement.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Back at you from Petco Park, Gwynn and Chris. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr. Game one of a three-game set. Padres and the Tampa Bay Rays making an appearance. How about the Tampa Bay Rays, Tony Gwynn Jr., in the playoffs if the postseason were to start today?
Yes, indeed.
That gives hope for everybody.
Definitely right? Does. If you're a team using an opener, it gives you hope.
Yeah.
But if we're being honest, this team has some talent. And, yes, they haven't used the opener nearly as much as they used it last year, which is a sign of them acquiring more depth.
Yeah.
But I don't think you can continue to call it a fluke, right? Because last year they finished third, and it was right around the same number of games above 500.
They were the only team in baseball that won 90 last year and didn't make the playoffs.
Right.
So they did have a good year last year.
Yeah, and they continue to – they're ahead of the Red Sox by a nice margin right now. So this team is real. I mean, whether they get in the playoffs, I think that largely depends on what Minnesota and Cleveland continue to do as they kind of go back and forth for their titles there. But – there's no doubt that this team is it also depends on what Oakland's doing, because like last year, they've come out of nowhere too.
Yeah.
When nobody was picking them. So
yeah, Oakland's right there, but hey, Tampa Bay has their work cut out for them because they are playing a team tonight that has now won a series since the All-Star break in the San Diego Padres. Red hot.
I was just getting ready to say
coming in here.
The red hot Pods.
Red hot. All right, back to baseball. Pre-game show comes up at the top of the hour, and then first pitch at 7:10 tonight. But we know what you're really thinking out there. It's all about getting ready for your fantasy football draft, right? First week of preseason, you're watching all the highlights of all the games, trying to find somebody that you can get for your lineup late in your draft that nobody else is going to know anything about, and that person is going to carry you to the championship. Well, look no further. We're here to help. It's time for our countdown.
It's now time for Gwynn and Chris to rank their top five of the day.
Gonna grip and rip as usual.
But this isn't just a regular top five list.
I love it. It sounds sadistic, but I love it.
This is the countdown. And it starts right now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, today's countdown subject, our five top guys you may not have heard of that could have an impact in fantasy football in 2019. Our five sleepers. You know, everybody's doing their sleepers about this time of year, Tony, so I thought we'd jump in there and give our take on this particular subject. I got to tell you, my list, I've actually heard of a couple of the guys, and then a few of the guys that are my sleepers, I can barely pronounce their names. So they are true sleepers.
But, I have to say, from my standpoint, I look at a sleeper as a guy that, from a production standpoint, will far surpass where he's actually drafted at in the draft. That's how I view a sleeper.
Right. Well, that's pretty much everybody, because I think my top players last year were my 14th, 15th, and 16th round selections. So
I think my top player was a free agent pickup.
So that's a fair point. What we ought to do is do the top free agent pickups, guys, to get the last 5 weeks of the season, because that's the real secret to success in fantasy football. You just want a bunch of guys that go crazy the last month of the season.
Right. You need some guys that keep you afloat, and then you just need some guys who are red hot.
Right.
Last 5 weeks.
All right, here we go. Start the countdown with
number five.
All right, I'm going to open with a guy that I think fits the bill perfectly for a guy that actually this guy did not help keep you afloat at all last year. But if you somehow still had him the final month of the season, you probably won your league. That's Derrick Henry, running back of the Tennessee Titans. Probably didn't score a single fantasy point in the month of September, October, and November. Then, the final four games of the year, he averaged 146 yards per game, two touchdowns, 6.7 yards per carry, and also threw in there a 99-yard touchdown run on a Thursday night game against Jacksonville. Derrick Henry just went crazy at the end of last season.
He did.
He shared the time with Deion Lewis, but Mike Vrabel in Tennessee might be wise to use a little more Derrick Henry this year. I don't know how big of a sleeper that is, but all I know is that you may have drafted him last year and then tossed him away at midseason and said, I'm never touching him
again.
Yeah, never touching that guy again. Well, you might want to reconsider. He's number five for me.
Number five for me. This one might be a surprise for a lot. He certainly hasn't done anything in his first few years to make anybody feel all warm and fuzzy about this, but I'm going to say Jameis Winston. I see him being a sleeper. They've got some new blood in there. And Arians, yes.
Much better offensive coach. His name. Well, he's a much better offensive mind than what they've had there.
We saw him rejuvenize Carson Palmer's career once he got to Arizona as well. So
yeah.
I think he has a chance to have a big year. And he was the first pick in the draft for a reason. And I think the reason why Tampa has held on to him is back in their mind, they knew that was it Cutter that was the head coach there?
Yes, and I don't really know why he ever was.
I think in the back of their mind as they watched that unfold, they realized that he wasn't getting the best out of his head coach as far as game planning offense. And they've got pretty much a new offense. DeSean Jackson is no longer there, who was their big play threat. They still have Mike Evans. So I like Jameis Winston as a sleeper for my number five.
I think that's a nice call. And the other thing about Jameis Winston is he's on a team that usually gives up a lot of points and needs to score a lot of points.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, there's nothing worse than getting a really good all-pro type quarterback, but all he's doing is handing off in the second half because his team's ahead by three touchdowns.
Right.
Jameis Winston, you don't have to worry about that.
Because they have your guy there, too, by the way. Ndamukong Suh.
Oh, yeah. Well, they'll be behind for sure.
That's
then.
Why I said that.
Number four.
All right, I'll stick with the same team. I'll just kind of stay with the same theme. Here's a guy that plays for Tampa Bay that I don't think very many people know about, but because Jameis Winston will have a surprising year and because DeSean Jackson is gone, a lot of people are looking for Chris Godwin to step up.
Yes.
At the wide receiver position. Caught 60 last year, 842 yards, 7 touchdowns, so he had a pretty decent year for a guy you probably didn't hear about. But with, like you said, no DeSean Jackson, Mike Evans will get double teamed a lot. Tampa Bay will be throwing a lot. This is a very good young receiver. Might be a nice flex option for you. A guy that probably not very many people know about.
Yeah,
so.
I think he's perfect for this sleeper spot because Mike Evans has never been a guy that's going to stretch the field. He's a possession receiver, tall, big. DeSean Jackson was that guy, and now that he's gone, Godwin can just kind of fall into the fold. I'm going to stick with the same position.
Okay.
And that's going to be Lamar Jackson. So many people are down on him from last year because he was inaccurate. Everything that I've read by all accounts, and this is going back to the summer in through training camp so far, he's been very impressive. Harbaugh has had a lot of good things to say about him as far as his accuracy, which was the thing that was mainly in question. You know what he's going to be able to do with his legs, the design runs.
There's and a lot. You do get 6 points every time he runs it into the end zone.
Indeed,
and he does that a lot.
Indeed, you do.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a lot of people thinking that Baltimore is going to be setting really like new levels for offense because of the way they're going to structure their offense and how they use Lamar Jackson. Saw a little bit of this with Michael Vick when he first came into the league. So I think he could be a sleeper, a guy that can get you some major points, and you probably won't have to take him that high in the draft.
You could get him in the 14th round. I'm almost sure of it because I agree with you, Tony. Most people don't think Lamar Jackson is much of a quarterback at all. Let me add to the Lamar Jackson legend for you. The Baltimore Ravens' first game is at Miami. So he will have a chance to get off to a good start, if nothing else.
Number three.
Poor Miami. All right, speaking of Miami, my number three guy is on Miami, Kalen Ballage. See, like you've never heard of him,
no,
right?
No, I have not.
He's a running back from Arizona State. Last year was his second year in the league. He backs up Kenyon Drake. But Kenyon Drake can't do it alone. And if you would have had Kalen Ballage last year starting in your semifinal week 15, he would have given you 123 yards and 2 touchdowns against the Minnesota Vikings in a late season game that didn't mean anything to anybody except for people that had him in fantasy football.
Right.
And I just have a feeling that kind of signaled to the Dolphins that this guy might be the next guy to carry the ball. You know that they're going to struggle so badly that they're going to mess around with a lot of different guys back there. But I'm hearing, you know, from my Dolphin sources that Kalen Ballage is the sneaky guy. Probably not sneaky enough for me to draft him because, man, the Dolphins may not even score this season. But
they're going to go shut out all year?
Going to get shut out all year, potentially so. But, no, he's a running back that you haven't heard of that may do some things and did do some things right at the end of last season.
All right, I'm going to move to the running back position. Going with the Raiders. And this is the young kid, Josh Jacobs, out of Alabama. Now, the Raiders have had some bad luck with running backs coming out of Alabama. Trent Richardson comes to mind immediately. He really struggled. But that being said, I think this guy has a chance to have a big year for the Raiders. Obviously, they've added some wide receiver talent. They have AB. They have Tyrell Williams, who I think is also a sleeper. He was not on my list, but he's also a sleeper at the wide receiver position. So they're going to be able to stretch the field. Do they have somebody that can run the ball? Now Marshawn Lynch is no longer there. Josh Jacobs, 24th pick in the first round, has a chance to really take over that running back position and really do his thing.
Number two.
Josh Jacobs, running back, Oakland Raiders. He's right here on my list. I might as well put him in there. He went from homeless to the number one pick in the draft, or number one
running back, yes.
First round pick.
Yes.
He and his family were homeless. I mean, this is a great story. This kid got through Alabama. You didn't really hear too much about him in Alabama, but you never hear too much about the Alabama running backs.
No.
But with Doug Martin, really the only thing they have there that he has to beat out. A lot of people are expecting this young kid to really shine for Oakland this season. And this put it over the top for me. I read today, Mel Kiper is picking the Raiders to win the AFC West. So if that's going to happen, Josh Jacobs is going to take full advantage. And I believe everything that Mel Kiper says, I always have.
That's funny because I just saw a clip where Peyton Manning's doing this, like, go back in time, and he's talking about an episode right before the draft where somebody from the Colts front office is just airing, Mel Kiper out.
Yeah.
On live TV.
Oh, so, yeah. Bill Polian did that one time.
I'm sure he did. They ended up having to work together at some point,
Mel Kiper says a lot of things that are just coming out of deep left field.
Yeah.
This is one of them. I mean, how could you honestly pick the Raiders to win that division? But he says so. I'll say Josh Jacobs is a good sleeper.
All right, my number two is Dante Pettis. He's a wide receiver for the San Francisco 49ers. Quick story, a little backstory about him. He was a baby kid when I was playing for the AAA Nashville. His father, Gary Pettis.
Gary Pettis was one of my favorites.
Was our third base coach. I saw this young kid just running around.
I did not know that was
now
his
all
son.
Of a sudden, I saw him play well for the Washington Huskies, and now he's in the NFL. Had a great rookie season last year. He's a sleeper. He's a guy that can stretch the field. He'll be an average per catch type guy, a guy that's going to be up in the top tier of that level. He can run, stretch the field for Jimmy Jesus, of course, and I think he's going to be a good sleeper to take late in the rounds.
Can I tell you one thing? Gary Pettis was one of my all-time favorite center fielders growing up.
Just a little bit before
your era, but man, could he go get him.
He could run.
He could steal a bag for it. He was an excellent player for those old California Angels, and I did not know that was his son.
Yeah.
So that's good. All right.
Number one.
All right, number one for me is a guy that I thought was on the sleeper list last year, and he actually, I drafted him, and he came through. He had a pretty nice season. But this is the year he takes a step into the upper echelon.
Ooh.
So that's why I put him in the sleeper category, even though he's already decent. And that's Kenny Golladay, the wide receiver of the Detroit Lions, out of Northern Illinois. Last season, caught 70 balls, over 1,000 yards. You probably didn't hear a whole lot about him. 5 touchdowns.
Detroit,
exactly. See, that's what I'm saying. You don't quite know where he is, but Matt Stafford throws the ball a lot. The Lions are behind a lot.
They'll
this
be
guy's
behind
a
this year,
big,
too.
Huge target. And he got, I mean, this is fantasy football research right here. He was targeted over 12 times five times last season.
That's good. That's what
I
you gotta want.
Believe that he's gonna get targeted a lot this year. So
you want
I,
targets.
Yeah, and they picked up they don't have Golden Tate anymore in Detroit, who took a lot of his catches away. They got Danny Amendola instead. And I don't think Danny Amendola's got much left in the tank. Marvin Jones on the other side's been injured a lot.
A lot.
Galladay, I'm not saying he's going to be the next Calvin Johnson Megatron, but he gives Matthew Stafford a chance to have a big-time guy. So this is like a sleeper that I think you think about getting in an early-round sleeper type of guy.
My number one is a sleeper, not sleeper type guy. He's a veteran in this league. I mentioned his name earlier in this countdown, but I think where he's landed this offseason, I think is a perfect fit for him, and that's DeSean Jackson.
Okay.
A guy that's going to be able to stretch the field. It's amazing that the Eagles did what they did last year without a guy that truly stretched the field. A bunch of guys that could run, and it was basically 50-50 balls. DeSean Jackson, if you give him enough field, he will outrun whoever is in front of him. And I think it's perfect for Carson Wentz. He's going to have Ernst underneath. He'll have guys like Nelson Aguilar who can get that kind of mid-range reception. But now he has a guy that can stretch the field, which will only open it up for those guys who are underneath more option. Got to go with the Long Beach Poly guy, DeSean Jackson, as my number one sleeper.
Long Beach Poly, heard Indeed. From again.
The countdown is now closed.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.